Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in our lives. We thank you, Father, that this thing is coming up pretty quick, it looks like. We thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to anoint us, every one of us, to share what you've given us this week and to testify about the things, the glorious things that you've done in our lives. And we just praise you, Father, for a great night tonight, because you're going to be the one that's directing it. The Holy Spirit's going to be directing this thing. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the testimonies that are shared tonight, and all the comments and all the revelations that we get, because they come from you. Ain't nothing we can do about it, but it's what you do in us, Lord. We thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request?
I'd like to lift up a sister. Diane Churchill up here in Maine has been going through a battle with cancer and was doing okay for a while, and now she's took a little turn and not feeling too well. So I want to lift her up. She's got 5 kids.
Okay. You want to pray for her?
Sure. For I release faith and healing and light and life to my sister, Diane. Father, I thank you for hope. I thank you for grace under repentance, everything she needs. You've supplied everything that Diane needs for life and godliness. And Father, she's got a good end and a good report and a good testimony after this test. And Father, I thank you for a Holy Ghost visitation to her to just pour your love on her, Lord, that cast out all fear. Thank you for your perfect love right now for Diane and her family and a promotion in the Spirit, Father, for going through the test and trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful miracle you're going to provide for her in Jesus' name. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, okay, Marilyn, I'm sorry. I saw you a while ago, but I just missed you.
Oh, that's okay. I know you've been prayed for there, Michael, but would you mind if I prayed for you too?
Well, no, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, everybody.
Lord, we just took all our faith up here for our brother and our elder Michael. Lord, I pray a special blessing on him for being on tonight, and I pray that you would strengthen him through the next 2 hours. I pray an outpouring of your healing virtue upon him, that his sinuses are clear, all of his respiratory system is clear. And Lord, just bring strength and anointing to his body, and that when he gets off of here, he's going to feel better than when he got on. And you're going to give him a good night's sleep tonight as well. And bless him for being a blessing, Father. I know he's a blessing to many, but he's a special blessing to us here. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given him a heart to be faithful, to come and shepherd this little flock. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for raising him up. Amen.
Amen. I believe that. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Marilyn. Anybody else? Got a prayer request or a testimony or a praise report? I got a praise report. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Glory be to God. I'm going to do me a little dance hit. Yeah. I've been healed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. I got out in the crud the other day, and the devil tried to throw this on me, and I've been fighting him all day. I'm winning. Thank you, Jesus. I've done one. Victory. All right, anybody else? Okay, Marilyn, go ahead.
I have a praise report as well. We had prayed, I think it was last Thursday, for Jane's mother, Claire. Jane's a UBMer and a part of Greater UBM. And anyway, her mom was in the hospital, and she's 88. And I think I mentioned before that, you know, she'd had a visitation just a few weeks before on her 88th birthday, where she was real happy in the middle of the night. And she said, "Lord, why am I so happy?" And he said, "Because I want you to be at peace, because this is your last birthday." And so anyway, we prayed for her here. And to cut to the chase, the Lord took her home Sunday morning. She died in the hospital. And the last couple of days that she was there, she really didn't communicate. She didn't say anything. But Jane said that just repeatedly, and it was so obvious, that she just kept lifting her hands up to the Lord and lifting her hands up to heaven. And when she did go, that she was very peaceful. And so I want to thank the Lord for that. The Lord, just as we prayed, he gave her a peaceful passage into his presence, and I know that we'll see her again. So I thank the Lord for that. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we're going to get to meet that gal. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Sharon.
Yes. Wait, let me mute my... Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. When Marilyn was praying, it reminded me of my grandmother when she was dying. And I went there the night before, and I put my hand on the bed, and she put her hand on top of me, and she whispered something. She was staring up in the corner. She did not, for an hour I was there, she was staring at the corner, and I said, and she whispered something and grabbed my hand, and I said, "What, Grandma?" I said, "What are you looking at?" So I had to lean over, and she said, "The light. It's very peaceful. It's almost over, and I'm at peace. Don't cry." And I sat there and I watched her go, just like my mother. And I asked before they passed, I prayed and I asked in Jesus' name, please do not let them take that big glass gulp like I saw my grandfather do. Let them just go peacefully breathing and right. And he answered both of my prayers. And when I heard my grandmother say that, they called her Sana. In Italian, that means saint. She never said nothing bad about anybody. And I got all my strength from her. So I hope when it's my turn, when God calls me home, that I remember that. And I see that peace, that the light calling me. And then she said, also, your grandfather's calling me home now too. I said, go with grandpa, the grandma. You know, so that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen. There's a way to have that peace. That's to run after Jesus with all your heart.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I got a bit of a similar praise report concerning peace. You know, not like in death, but I had a good day today at work. So I thank, you know, everyone for continual prayer concerning my work situation lately and the safety. And I had one pretty close call, but what was different than all the others, you know, I wasn't upset, wasn't bothered by it, wasn't frustrated. I mean, it just, I almost had the guy slam in the back of me as I was backing up in an aisleway, and he was coming out of the main aisle, coming from the main aisleway into that side aisleway. And I had such a peace and joy. I just said, okay, well, you know, so be it. I basically just was like, I was at total peace. You know, I think I started the day off, yeah, kind of like that. But then I remember just I think it was today or the day before. I just remember, praying for peace, joy, like you said, Michael. I mean, I prayed about that from time to time. And yeah, I just had total peace about it. Even today, I think I had an instance where I was, one guy I think was, he was rushing around. He gets in a hurry and he likes to rush around and, almost cut people off. It's just very dangerous, And so basically he just kind of, he was coming through and I think he yelled, coming through, watch out. Like normally wouldn't, but I mean, I could tell he was in a hurry, and I just said, okay, sure. And I just drove on by, didn't even bother me. So I thank God for peace, in the midst of those trials and, troublesome times, he can really bring that joy and peace at times where it just doesn't bother you. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for peace all the time. Praise you, Father. Okay. Good report. Thank you, Jesus. All right, who else got something? Is Miss Lunsford, are your name Shirley? I think it's Shirley. Yeah, go ahead, raise hand.
Are you talking to me, Mike?
Yeah.
My name is Susan, hon.
Susan, yeah, okay. I knew that. I was just testing you.
Oh, okay.
You know I was kidding, don't you?
You were close.
Okay. Thank you, Susan.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Unmute.
Okay. I just found it. when they were talking about peace, there was one time when the gentleman was talking about peace and I was coming in agreement with him, I said, thank you, Jesus, that he had peace, that you filled him with peace. Because I heard a story last week when he was praying and talking about what he was going through. But there was one time, I don't know, does everybody in here believe in when someone lays hands on you, a pastor, and you go down?
Depends on what that pastor's imparting.
Okay, well, this pastor... When I became born again Christian, I started going to this one church near my father's house because my father was dying of Alzheimer's and full-blown withdrawals. I mean, full-blown dementia. So I went over there, and this gentleman, I never been to that church. I never met this guy. And he said, Sharon, did you have the anointing pastor pray on you? And I said, yes, I had that pastor pray. She goes, no, this one. So he brought me up to him, and all of a sudden, he said, let me pray for you. And he put his hand on the right side of my neck, and he said, you got a blocked carotid artery, don't you? I said, yes. And he said, did you tell anybody? I said, no, I've never been in this church. He said, okay, let me pray. Well, when he prayed, there was a shock that went into me. I mean, it hurt. And then there was like, it was like a horse, like an Empire State Building that kicked me right in the chest. And I was there was a new guy that was supposed to be waiting to catch you before you hit the ground. Well, he missed me. Well, when I hit the ground, I must have been down. I thought I was down there for 10 minutes. They said, you were down there for 45 minutes. When I got up, I had to have people help me up because I kept falling down. And when I started talking, I was drunk. I sounded drunk. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Pat. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I feel drunk. He says, you look drunk. He says, you know what that is? I said, I don't know, but it feels really good. He said, you're drunk on Jesus. He's filled. The Holy Spirit is full in you right now.
I'm gonna go out.
And I've been praying for that and praying for that. And I haven't received it yet. But someday I know. I will receive it again. That's all.
Okay. Praise God. Did you get healed?
Yes, I did.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Judy, where'd you go? Huh. Anyway, there they are. Did y'all want to say something? Judy, did you and Sue want to say something? Okay. Anyone else?
I'd like to thank God for helping me. I had a big party scheduled a couple of weekends ago, and my chefs were supposed to take care of it, but something told me, a lot of clues actually, that they weren't preparing and didn't even have it on their radar. So about 1:30 in the morning, I started sending out texts and asking them, were they ready? And about 5 o'clock in the morning, I started pulling my bootstraps together and deciding I'd go in and at least help them in case they were unprepared. And then about 6 o'clock, I confirmed that they didn't have a clue and went in and handled it and pretty much saved all of our jobs, for I guess, but could have been real embarrassing, but everything went real well. And I had peace the whole time. I was praising God in the kitchen and just as loud as I could, just singing praise and having fun and making the most of a situation. And, you know, I kept my flesh subdued, I guess, and dealt with those guys later, about a week later. And, you know, just with maturity and control again, because I could have been a wild man after them just dropping the ball like that. But also up here in Maine, you know, freezing cold, trying to stay ahead of the wood stove. And I got a bunch of my wood buried in ice and blue tarps. So I went to go get a load of wood and scrap wood, and I patiently waited about 8 hours in the yard yesterday to get a load of wood, and preferring others, help these other guys load their wood, and just prayed for an old gentleman and just helped a couple more and outlined a couple of early UBM's studies from way back that I'd been wanting to revisit. So I really made the most of my time there. And God's just, you know, it's like they, you know, people tell you don't pray for patience, but revisiting those old studies, I'm realizing pray for everything. Just ask God to give you everything that He wants to give you, and let Him bless you with more, because whatever I can bring to the table is so small compared to what He wants to live through me. So I'm going to keep trying to decrease and let Him increase. So I've had a good time with the Lord lately. God bless y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Hey, Pat. Okay, I'm through. I'm sneezing. Y'all just have to give me a little break here every now and then. Matthew, why is that all his own there? All right, somebody.
lives are better. We pray for him.
That was an 877 number. Somebody trying to sell me something. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I would like prayer for something. Over the years, off and on, I've had bouts with arthritis, and it's been really attacking me the last few days pretty good, and today in my arm and fingers, and so I just rebuke it, and I want everyone's agreement with me, or prayer for me and agreement or so against this.
Amen. Amen. Come against that arthritis in her body. Yeah. We command it to go right now in Jesus' name. You don't have any authority there, so you've got to go and take all the demons with you that you brought in there. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that Debbie is completely healed of that. She don't have to worry about it anymore. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father. These diseases do not come upon me, Lord. If there's any reason in my heart, then reveal to me, Lord.
Yes.
Dear God, in Jesus' name, I stand against it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
All right. It's done. I believe it. Anybody else? You know what the best kind of a toy, just to get off a subject just a little bit, you know what the best kind of toy for Obadiah is, or any kid his age? Anybody know the secret to that answer? The answer to that secret?
Question? What's the question?
The question is, do you know what the best toy for a boy his age is?
How old is he?
You can't see him. He's 2 years old.
Oh. Go ahead.
No, it ain't little.
A big cardboard box.
Come on, George. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about now. I got one downstairs that I'm going to make for next time he comes over. He's going to have a blast with you. I don't know if y'all know. I used to get my kids boxes, get them big old boxes, and they play for hours in them things running back and forth. You know how much they cost? Nothing.
That's right.
They don't take
nothing.
It'll cost you 14 pennies in string and a thumbtack to cut a window that you can pull open and close too from the inside.
Yeah, they have a ball in it.
Amen. They do. They just have a blast. Well, what I thought it's narrow. It's about like that, but it's great. It's long, and I thought I'd cut a hole in the other end of it. And cut a hole in the center of it so where they can go in the middle and stand up and poke his face out the window, you know. And they just get that's a hoot for them. And then close the top and then have something ready. If you want to just keep him in there for a while, have something to stuff on both ends of that thing to hold him in there. You see, you can do that. All right, Sharon, go ahead.
Oops, I turned the video off. Oops, I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. Did you say you had a bunch of balls in there?
No. I said it was a box, a cardboard box.
Okay, because my younger sister, her husband, my brother-in-law, opened up Scoops ice cream store, and we built so many different kid games in there, and there were two of them. I mean, they were huge, and with of course screen around so they don't fall out, but they would jump in there, and I mean there were balls up to their neck. I mean, they were having so much fun. And then there was a littler one for the little children, and then they had other few other ones, and And then they did have one that had five boxes, like you were talking about. They were all connected, but they were empty, and they had different slots. You can go in this one. It was like a maze for them, and they kept trying to go through this way and that way, and they were banging into each other. It was really cute. I mean, we really laughed. They had a blast.
Amen. It doesn't take much to keep a two-year-old busy.
You're right.
All right. Now get back on subject here. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
I got a quick little factoid. Y'all may have already heard about it, but studying up on Scottish revival. Did I mention this already?
I hadn't heard it, if you had.
The island of Lewis in Scotland, they had a revival around the 40s. And Trump has a connection back to it. His mother came from that island just before. I feel like I've already told y'all this.
Well, you may have, but go ahead. That's good to know again.
I'm pretty sure I did. Anyway, it just keeps coming back to me that a sovereign move of God, that there's a connection there that, I don't know. Anyway, he's got a connection back to that revival. He may have even been named after a young 15-year-old or something that was helping to minister there, named Donald Smith. And I guess just gives me a little something more to hope that he's anointed by God to really steamroll over evil, that there's so much opposition to him, and we don't even have a clue how magnified the devil and all of those forces are against him. And that thank God that we have all authority and all power in the earth to stop all of their plans and cause them confusion. And I guess I just want to lift up the leadership of our country that is actually giving peace to the saints all over the world, that there's a worldwide movement of hope that the darkness won't just overwhelm in these countries. And Father, I thank you that America, that all of the stupid plans of these enemies are getting uncovered, these propped up Supreme Court mummies or whatever they've got going on with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that something's got to give with all of that. It's got to be exposed. If they're playing games with that, it's got to come to an end and righteousness prevail in Jesus' name, that you're a God of justice and you won't allow such things to go on. And we won't allow them. You've given us authority, and we just call an end to all of the games of the enemy, and we proclaim a time of peace, a time of justice, righteousness, and hope in this country and in every place where the name of Jesus is lifted up. Amen.
Amen. I agree with George. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Hey, yeah, George, I was, you probably already know this, but on sermonindex.com or .org or .net, whatever it is, Sermon Index, there are probably at least 26 sermons by Duncan Campbell. I don't think there's anything from the island of Lewis, but it's him talking about what happened on the island of Lewis. Of course, when he was there, he was speaking in Gaelic.
Was that part of that New Hebrides revival?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. New Hebrides, Island of Lewis, and but there's among those programs available, MP3s you can download from Sermon Index. There is an awesome recording. It was something that was put together that just has a lot of people who were in those meetings, and it's. What's so cool about it is it's an actual recording of all these people who came to the meetings by hook or by crook, meaning their friends would ask them to come, or you know, a lot of them came very unwillingly. And you probably have already heard this, but it's a very difficult recording to understand. You have to really crank up the volume, and you might have to tweak your bass and treble so you can understand it, because these people speak with a pretty strong Gaelic accent, but they got some neat music in there from way back during that era. And I mean, some of those people are just so animated about how the Lord came through to them. So one of the things that's so compelling to me is this lady is talking about when she and some other of her girlfriends we're at the meeting, she was so resistant, and how what Mr. Campbell said was exactly what she was thinking in her. He was answering these questions that she would come up with in her mind. He was answering them directly in what he was saying. It's the most supernatural things that were going on in those meetings. It was just, man, I tell you what, listening to especially that recording just can really get you cranked up, longing for those type of days again. So yeah, the whole island of Lewis, oh my goodness, they were. I don't think there were any bars open. It just completely changed the whole place.
Well, absolutely, it did. It shut them all down. And they all got saved. All the bartenders got saved, and there was a preacher come out of the bar. He talks about. Remember when he said the sheriff called him, the constable, everybody.
Yeah, yeah, uh huh.
Said,
yeah,
Mr. Campbell, there's 600 or 700 people out here. Could you please help us, sir?
Brings tears to your eyes, you know.
I know. It's an awesome testimony.
They, you know, what's interesting was people said that the only time that kind of revival took place was when he spoke in Gaelic. So, and he did a lot of speaking around the world. Duncan, he spoke up.
When Duncan Campbell spoke in Gaelic?
In Gaelic, right. I mean, he spoke at a lot of course, he was involved in the, the major convention down in England, Keswick Convention or something, but it was his involvement at that convention. He felt like he was really going backwards and it really left his walk with the Lord. It was during that one of those conventions that he just...
You're talking about the Keswick Convention?
Keswick, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that...
Murray was involved in that.
What was that again?
Andy was involved in that.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, he was.
He talked about... Duncan Campbell talked about how his daughter... He was proud of his daughter because she went as a missionary to Nepal. And he only said it once, and I had a really hard time understanding him. But, man, this is way back in the years when, you know, there weren't very many foreigners in the whole country. The country hadn't really opened up much. So that would – I've really tried to research that and figure out about his daughter going there, but I just haven't seen anything. So,
You know, anyway, that revival there was not the only revival they had. There was two or three before that the whole place got saved, you know. This was actually, when was that, in 1940? 48? Is that what it was?
1949 is what this says.
49? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it was an awesome time.
Good recording. In fact, you could probably get away with playing a little tiny bit of that thing here, right, you know, sometime when you're sharing stuff.
Okay. Just, well, you know,
get one of those, just like a couple minutes, like that lady talking. And there's also a man who's telling about his experience. Man, the whole thing's just awesome. Just awesome.
Yeah. Well, there's a YouTube video out of this guy that goes around some of these old folks that were in that New Hebrides revival.
Can you actually see their faces?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, oh,
they're going to their home. They're going to this in color. They go in there and talk and talk about it, and they tell about what happened. You know, there was it was a bunch of kids at a dance when this thing started.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And there was a kid in there that was praying at the dance, and then the glory fell down. Oh, my gracious. When the glory fell down, they all hit the floor, went to repent, crying out to God. Some of them run out the door and went out and couldn't make it to town before they hit the ground, and they was repenting. You know, people were just repenting all over the yards, on the streets. Man, it was all up and down the highways, you know, people walking. Man, they was people repenting all up and down that island. The glory of God hit that whole island, looked like. It was awesome.
That's what you call a directed energy weapon.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
That's a Holy Ghost weapon there, boy. I'm
Amen.
Gonna tell you.
Amen.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
I just posted it, I think. If you want to show it, I just posted the YouTube link. I thought, let me go ahead and search the video there. That's the link right there of the video you spoke of. So, yeah. I mean, if you want to show it there it is right there.
Well, if nobody else has anything to talk about, we can do that. You know how to share it?
Let me see. I might.
Hang on just a minute. Let's see if anybody else got something they want to share. Which one you got, Joe?
Let me see here. I think it said it's about 12 minutes long. It says,
Is that the one that Duncan Campbell relates it?
I'm not sure. It says a video about the revival in the Hebrides Islands in 1949. It's got a couple people who actually lived during that time speak about it. So, yeah.
Did anybody want to watch that?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and share it, brother.
All right, let me see here. I don't think I've ever done this, but let's see what we can do here. Here we go.
Sure to check the sound off your computer.
Okay. Remember? Okay, yeah, let me see here. All right. Everyone see that? Let's see. Let me see if I got a sound pull up here. Anybody hear it? Okay, let me see here.
Can't hear it.
Let me see how to change the sound.
Look down at the lower left-hand corner on the share screen. It says, share computer sound.
Let's see here. There we go. All right, let's try this again.
Turn it plumb up. Now put the widescreen on.
Yeah. I've been coming back here for about 5 years now, and it's a little bit of almost a mystery tour, where each time we come, there's another piece of a puzzle, and each puzzle piece tells a part of a story that's beginning to emerge with increasing intent, I believe, on God's part. He gave many people an amazing expression of a visitation, an awakening. And the more I've come back and the more people trust us in why we're asking them the questions, the more they're willing to entrust to us part of their story. And there was very clearly a story that took place when people began to plead before the throne of God.
Well, before this revival came up, you know, this place was really spiritually, you know, dead, totally. You know, there were alcoholics, drunkards, and everything else. But then this movement started.
I remember my father was converted in a revival in 1926. Mm-hmm. No, that was in the north of Harris. And days were very dark then. And people had no concern for their souls. And, but then there was this revival came. Mm-hmm. There was a little prayer meeting in one little village. And people were so busy with harvest work and things like that, Christian people. And there was very few attending the prayer meeting, and it went right down. And the prayer meeting was taken by one of the elders. And he said, next week I'm going to say there'll be no more prayer meetings until all the harvest work is over. But he couldn't say it that night. He just could not. He was kept back from saying it. And he said, next week, I'll definitely have to say it next week, because there was just two or three people in the prayer meeting. So the next week, when he went back to the prayer meeting, there was five or six people. So, he said, I'm not going to say anything now. There's more people come in. And the following week, revival broke out. See, it's easy to give up.
And I remember my father actually telling me that he was standing at the gable end of a house. Do you know what a gable end means? The end of a house up in the village here. And looking down to the main road here. And suddenly, you know, he was aware that something was happening inside him.
Suddenly, it's as if they all lost their embarrassment. We've heard stories of people walking in the fields, praying, walking down the roads, praying, into their day-to-day life situations, praying inside the church, yes, and outside the church. And all the stories are slightly different, yet they all have the same cohesiveness, that God asked these people to ask him a question. Will you come and visit us? And he said, yes, I will, and he did.
It went out to the whole community. Everybody felt it. It doesn't matter whether they were Christians or no. Everybody was going to the meetings. They would have an urge, praying people behind them, and the Lord was listening, and the people were going out to the prayer meetings, whether they were Christians or no. And a lot of them were converted just by listening to some of the people who wanted them to go out.
People were so full of praise, and they really wanted to praise, and it just poured out of them. And I had one friend who was saved in the 1949 revival. She's not with us anymore, but she composed a lot of hymns herself, but she couldn't do it any time she wanted to do it. The words just came to her. They were just divinely inspired. And she never, ever wrote one of them down. And she remembered them all by heart. And they are beautiful. And I know I have heard stories of revival when people walking the road would hear the singing, and they would know that the people were revived because of the life in the singing.
For everyone who was in that revival, there was something in the singing. Well, something as if it just came down from heaven. There was, you couldn't describe it. There was something in it that I can still tell the people who were in the revival. See, when they're singing, there's something in their singing, yeah, that you can't hear from the ordinary person. But one night there was a certain man praying. It was open meetings, but there was never any scarcity of people getting up to pray. One night a certain man was praying and he was seeing a white dove resting on people's head, naming them one by one. I was in the meeting that night and he was naming them one by one and they were all converted that night. They would be lying on the floor, crying out to the Lord, to our merciful Father. But the ones that were lying on the floor there, you would see Christ in their face. You would know that they were with Jesus, for their face was just shining it was. We knew they were with the Lord.
And there were groups of people here and there all across the different islands that suddenly began to participate with a kind of a divine orchestration. Some began to tell us about the amazing expression of the heavenlies opening up. Some began to sense God saying, all right, ask me now and I'll give you the answers that you want. I'm willing to hold court with you.
During the revival, it was unique, no other word for it. In its fullness. Before we had maybe minutes of it, but then we had hours of it. Day and night, whenever you woke up, the presence of the Lord was there. When you went to your bed, the presence of the Lord was there.
However, they've also encountered God as this blast from heaven, this incredible surge of power.
And one of the houses shook in honor there when they were praying. The house shook, presence of the Lord, power of prayer and the presence of the Lord, even the houses were shaking.
Where did they see his profound divinity coming as a gospel ship, which a whole lot of them saw at one point, and they all saw this ship, which has been seen only a very few times in history, so I'm told.
Another night as we left, we saw the open field, a ship as if it was a navy ship, all lit up between the masts and everything. But we knew it wasn't real, but for it was on dry land. It was on dry land. We couldn't say a word. None of us could even speak. We still know that I am God. That's all we could say.
Or whether it's a house that shakes with prayer, or whether it's light coming out of the skies like electricity, and as one of them said, it's a bit like Paul on the Damascus Road. That was his revelation.
Crowds walking on the road, lights would be around them. They'd be surrounded by lights. Ships passing by felt the presence of the Lord. They were telling us that many of the sailors in question time, they used to give the testimony. A lot of them would be saying that they felt the presence of the Lord even going around the island.
There's been a revival here in the 20s, the 30s. There's been a generational seeding. It's as if the promises of each generation was then passed on to the next generation. And something of the nature of God is he knows who he can count on to test the promises, to be a tripwire of change, and suddenly release the promises into the present generation. I believe we're seeing this now, in fact.
Yes, well, I think the power of prayer is unquestionable. And I think the prayers of those that have passed on are now being answered. It's not just the prayers of the present.
I've got contacts in Hughes and Skye and these places, and they are all as well praying for revival.
There's a new wave of young people who have no embarrassment about praying, no embarrassment about coming together. If you took that truth and you went back into the era preceding the 20s revival, then the 30s, then the 40s, it's almost like we hear a tape recorder playing the same thing over and over again.
You know, I was amazed. I was in Carlwood Church last Sunday, and the number of young folk professing Christ at the Lord's table was absolutely astonishing. There were more teenagers there than there were old folk.
And what's more remarkable for me, the seeds of those awakenings, particularly that 49-53 one, that's going around the world, which means in a case of people who are not complex, they just have a lovely, simple faith. There's a profound encounter with God, and He then takes the fruit of that encounter, and it's like He sends it to all the world with more than the divine suggestion, and He says, this is what it's like. If people will come and spend time even on their knees, and they will meet with Me, I will meet with them.
I don't believe that it's God's heart for us to be complacent, that He does really want us to live in revival.
And they know in their hearts that as they're praying again now, in the same way they were praying just before that 48-49 era, they have felt the intensity of God as much now as it was then. And some have said to me, it's actually we're feeling it more now than we did back then, and we recognize the familiar tune from heaven when God's just about to release His glory in our lives again.
How many of you want revival? Yes, Lord, have mercy. Glory be to God. Thank You, Jesus, for that revival. Break out on all of us tonight, Lord. Let the light shine on everybody. My glory, be like a cyclone going through here, Lord. And we praise You for it, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus. My. Woo. Glory to God. Man, get pumped up real good here. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You, Father, for Your praying people that praise these revivals in, like they did in the New Hebrides, like they did at the one in Los Angeles. All of those that happened in the past, Lord, were brought in by prayer. And Father, we just thank You. Thank You, Lord, that we're looking forward to the revival that's coming, because it's going to be the greatest revival ever. And we're going to see things that we never thought possible, Lord. We're going to see people up and down. They're going to be crying. They're going to be hitting their knees. Glory to God. It's going to be just like it. Only people are going to come in. They're going to stay in. And, Lord, we just thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Woo, my. Anybody else want to pray? Go pray. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to pray, but I just want to say that was one of the most amazing videos, and I was trying to read, you know, but it was, my cheaters aren't that strong, but I just, something came over me, and I can't even explain the feeling, but it's a good feeling, and whoever it was that found that, I want to thank you. And I was trying to read where to go so I can go to it, but I wasn't able to catch the whole thing. But I had tears of joy. I had peace. I can't wait to see that, because like Mike just said, we're going to see it more than, and it's going to fall upon us more than it did back then. And I sure hope that I'm alive when that happens. That's all I have to say. That was an amazing video.
Amen. Y'all ever heard? I played the one on, what was the name of that college that had it back in the 50s? Had a revival? Oh, my.
Yeah, you did play it. We watched it.
Yeah. That's gosh, good. Let me think.
Asbury.
Asbury. Yeah, Methodist Church, wasn't it?
Not sure, but I know it's down in Kentucky.
Yeah, it's Methodist. Well, okay. Praise God. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I'd like to just pray for us at the end there, that one witness was saying that God doesn't want complacency. You know, he wants us to be in the process of revival. And so I pray that for all of us, that we wouldn't be complacent. We wouldn't be happy with where we're at, that we would strive for more and more of God in us and in our lives, and you know, just be a shining forth of the Lord to our the people around us.
Well, I was talking. I'm sorry, and I had my dadgum microphone muted. What I was talking about, back in the 60s, there was a guy, I'm trying to think of his name, Tommy Welchel or something, Welchel or something like that. Anyway, he was kind of a troubled teenager, and they were fixing to throw him in jail for something. And this was in Oklahoma. He lived in Oklahoma. And so he hitched a ride with his outlaw friends, and they went out to California. And he ran into a couple old ladies that was out of Azusa Street. And they invited him over to their house. And matter of fact, they let him stay there. And he stayed there for years, stayed in that housing project. And what was amazing about it was the housing thing there, all of the Azusa Street people that were still alive, a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them were staying in that home there. It was, you know, kind of an old folks home. And he would go and listen to them hours on end, listening to them talk about Azusa Street. And he made notes, and he wrote a book about it. And the Lord wouldn't let him release it until just, I don't know, just 4 or 5 years ago. And he released it, Tommy Welchel. And it's an amazing story of what happened during that Azusa Street revival. The miracles that happened there. Maybe sometime we can do that again. What'd you say, Pat? I'm messing with you, brother. All right.
I'm looking up that that website, Tommy Welchel.
Yeah, I forget the name of that book. I used to have it. I loaned it out. You know what happens when you loan it out? It just goes around the world. Huh? It
says Azusa Street Revival Book. The Miracles of Azusa Street.
Yeah. That's it. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Hi. I've downloaded all this stuff off, that I had at the time. I think I was pursuing listening to everything I could get a hold of from Duncan Campbell back in 2007 when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I wanted to know what it – I was studying different people who had been involved in these different revivals, and I really wanted to see – you know, how did that happen? So I listened to Duncan Campbell's story over and over and over of him being taken out of the battlefield. He was a part of a cavalry charge. And the second group that came up were the Canadians. And they, on the way out, one of the guys on a horse, the horse actually stepped on Duncan Campbell's back. He was lying face down. After being shot up, by the Germans. And anyway, he on the way back, the guy remembered where this Duncan Campbell was lying. He came back and picked him up, put him on the back of his horse, and that's where he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there on the back of the horse. But anyway, I found the recording. It's SI. If you do a search on Sermon Index, it's SID. That would be Sigma India Delta 0355 MP3, and the title is Revival on the Island of Lewis. It's 1 hour and 1 minute long. So, SID 0355. So I assume it's the same after all these years. But
well, there you go. Y'all can go there and listen to it.
Yes. At the end of it, can you please say that slowly? Because I could not catch it, and I would really like to get that site down.
Yeah, it's S as in Sigma or Sermon. S as in Sermon, I as in Index, and D as in, I guess, Duncan, as 0355 dot MP3. It's just an MP3 file. But if you just do the search for the first part, you should get it.
Okay, did you say dot NBC?
MP3, it's an MP3 file. That's like Mary. M as in Malcolm.
Oh, M. Thank you.
P as in Paranoid. Oh.
Paranoid, okay.
3 as in the Catholic version of the Trinity. How's that?
Thank you. I got it. Thank you so much.
No, it's a great recording. It's just, and they have some neat music. It's I think it was, the music was taken from an old 45 RPM record that our family used to have way back in the 60s. It was almost like 101 strings or something, but it played these neat hymns from back in those days. So they have some of that music that they fade in and out between interviews. And, oh, man, that's a real heartthrobber of a piece there. Anyway, 73. I guess that doesn't work here. See y'all.
No, I don't know what 73s mean.
All right.
88.
88, absolutely.
Okay. Anybody else?
That would be the Holy Kiss.
Okay.
Hey, go ahead, Sharon.
Oh, okay, thank you. I have a question. I want to talk about lots. In the Old Testament, if I can remember right, they threw lots to pick the, after the one, the 12 disciples, one died, and they threw lots to pick another apostle. I mean, one of his apostles. But then in Hebrews, I haven't read it yet, just a little bit, but it said, we don't throw lots anymore. So can somebody please give me, because I've been told by somebody, throw lots. And when I threw lots, and they said two heads means yes from God, two tails means no, or if it's mixed, throw again. I did that a few times, but I felt like it just made me feel like I was going against God, like I was trying to tempt him, like, and not tempt him, but saying, I don't agree with you, God. No, what? So let me throw the lots again. I just didn't feel good about that. If someone can please tell me if anybody else throws lots still, or if they
Sharon. Yes. Sharon, have you ever read Sovereign God?
Yes, I started reading it.
Chapter 9 will explain it.
Chapter 9?
Yeah. It's called God's Sovereignty Over Signs, Chance, and Confirmations. You'll get it all right there, sister. That'll enlighten you, and it will give you a way to go, give you a path to go down. Yes, I throw lots. David throws lots. We all throw lots. When we want an answer quickly, God wants us to get that answer through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But you know, sometimes we throw lots just to get a quick answer from Him, and it works. I mean, it's just, there's no doubt in my mind. If you've got faith to believe that God's going to answer you when you do it, He'll answer you that way.
Okay. Yeah, He did answer me on a couple of them, but after I did it, I kind of sat down and I started feeling like, oh, wait a minute, let me check on these lots, you know, let me do some studying. So that's why I asked the question, but I will read chapter 9 tonight after I get off. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Hi, Julie. Where'd she go? I see her hairpiece, but I don't see her. She gonna get me on that one. Okay, what y'all want to talk about tonight? You want to talk about Jesus? What y'all been studying about?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead.
Debbie? Well, I wonder if I could read the words of this old revival hymn.
Oh, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm trying to sing it because I'll probably start sneezing,
Okay.
I have to read the words. It's called "The Holy Spirit Came at Pentecost." I remember learning this many, many years ago. So I'll just, the chorus is, "Come Holy Spirit, dark is the hour. We need your filling, your love, and your mighty power. Move now among us, stir us, we pray. Come Holy Spirit, revive your work today." The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. He came in mighty fullness then. His witness through believers won the lost, and multitudes were born again. The early Christians scattered o'er the world, they preached the gospel fearlessly. Though some were martyred and to lions hurled, they marched along in victory. Come Holy Spirit, dark is the hour, we need your filling, your love, and your mighty power. Move now among us, stir us, we pray. Come Holy Spirit, revive your work today. Then in an age when darkness gripped the earth, the just shall live by faith was learned. The Holy Spirit gave the church new birth, and Reformation fires burned. In later years, the great revivals came when saints would seek the Lord and pray. But once again, we need that holy flame to meet the challenge of today. Come, Holy Spirit, dark is the hour. We need your filling, your love, and your mighty power. Move now among us, stir us, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, revive your church today. That's all the verses. Yeah.
Amen. That's a good one. When are you going to sing it? Maybe Denny can sing it.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a good one. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, when she was speaking, I think I want to correct myself. I think when I was reading in the Old Testament about lots, wasn't it when right before Pentecost or when Pentecost was going on?
Well, they threw lots when Judas killed himself. They threw lots for Matthias and what's the other boy's name? Anyway, they threw lots to pick another disciple.
Okay.
So yeah, it's New Testament stuff. You read that chapter, you'll be all up on it, girl. And you come back and tell us Thursday night what it's all about.
Oh, I sure will, because I didn't know about Jesus, you know, when they threw the lots. Oh, wait, no, in Hebrews, weren't they throwing lots because they were fighting against the garment?
Anyway, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but go ahead.
That was when Jesus was crucified. Is that what you're talking about? When Jesus was on the cross, they were casting lots to see who would get his garments?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Well, that was a Roman soldier.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead there, Malcolm.
This is a different topic, but I've been reviewing some of Torben's videos regarding what's been going on in Denmark recently. Very, very interesting. And I just was wondering if the rest of you have seen, been following what's been going on. But I thought the whole fake news thing was kind of limited to the U.S., but it sounds like Europe has got some, is giving the U.S. quite a bit of competition as far as fake news goes. So anyway, I was just wondering, they have incredible ability to lie and portray people as scum of the earth using video clips. And they'll ask a question in one part of the video, and then they'll take another answer somewhere else and take it out of context. And, you know, it's very interesting what they're doing to basically make it illegal to pray for people there. I think that's where they're pushing, is to make true Christianity illegal in Denmark. But anyway, I just wondered if any of the rest of you have been following what's going on. Actually, during that time of fasting, or I guess that time that the Lord told Eve that, you know, that this is something for the body to be in solitude. That was one of the things I was praying for. It's probably some of you were too. You know, the incredible persecution coming against people there in Denmark. So, back to net control.
Yeah. Okay. No, I don't watch much of Corbin at all. I just don't have time, I guess.
But, yeah.
I saw something today that was interesting. This guy was in Jerusalem. And he prayed for this Muslim guy, great big guy. And the guy had a bad leg, bad hip joint or something. And he prayed for, this was on film. He had a guy with a camera walking behind him. And I don't know who this guy was. I really don't. But he prayed for this guy. God healed that Muslim. And anyway, this guy that prayed for him wanted to go into the Dome of the Rock. He wanted to go into the temple, the Muslim temple over there. And so they went around searching for people, and he found this elder guy that needed prayer. He prayed for him. He had some pains in his chest, and he prayed for him. He was a shopkeeper of some sort. And he took him into his brother, who had some heart problems, you know, himself. He long in heart trouble. And he prayed for him. And these were Muslims. And they got to talking after that both of them were healed. And they got to talking, and he said, you know, said, I would love to go to the Dome of the Rock. And I'd like to go through the temple there. And the guy said, ooh, man, said, that's a big one. He said, but I know somebody that knows somebody that could probably get us in there. He said, I know all the workers in the temple, and they know the head guy that can get them in there. And what is that, Joe? Oh, Todd White. I don't know much about him. Somebody else might. But anyway, he prayed for that guy, and he said, well, I might be able to get you in there. I said, let's go. They went over there, and they were supposed to go down to this place and just holler for this guy's name. And they hollered for this guy's name, and guess who came out? The big man that he had prayed for earlier that day was the guy that was head of the temple. And he said, well, I'm not supposed to. No one's ever done this before, but I'm willing to take you in there. And he took him in there, took him in the temple, the Muslim temple. And there was probably 150 people outside the temple when they went in there. And they were not supposed to do that, but they did it. It was a God-ordained thing that they did. And he went through there, and they took pictures while I was in there, of course. It was pretty awesome. Did you say that was Todd White? Does anybody know anything about him? I don't know anything about it. I've heard some bad stuff, and I've heard some good stuff, so I don't know.
I know a little bit about him. I know he's recently, you know, I think when we last talked about the Pope meeting with that major imam, well, there's a video of Todd White. I guess he's an evangelist. You know, he goes out and prays for people and all that stuff, and he speaks at various churches. There's a video of him speaking with Kenneth Copeland, talking about coming together, and I guess talking about coming together with Catholics. So that's something that that's one of the red flags. I thought, wait a minute, you know, and so it's, I think he's joined with others, but yeah, I mean, he goes out and prays for people. Like you said, you know, he prayed for this, Muslim gentleman. I just posted the video right there for those who want to see it. I mean, yeah, it's very interesting. I remember watching it. So I've got mixed feelings about him. So.
Yeah. Well, I'd heard some bad things about him. So, but that, you know, I don't know, but that was a miracle.
You've got Dutch Sheets on his board for his ministry. And some other Dutch Sheets, you know, some of the Dutch false Sheets. Revival people.
Yeah, I said false revival, Kansas City
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
Kansas City prophets,
I think. So I think a lot of their guidance is coming from false revival people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, forget that. But it was interesting to watch how it transpired that they got into the temple. God can use anybody, can't he? Anybody got any interesting stories?
Yeah, one of the reasons I brought up Torben was the level of persecution against Christians there in Denmark has gotten so intense. And what one of the tactics that the media does is they'll cover groups and denominations that where the leader will get sexually involved with parishioners. They'll talk about very strange behavior. And so they have, you know, they're going through all these very weird groups, and then they put Torben's group in there, and then they, you know, as you know, they put in, they had a couple of people go in with hidden cameras and ask them all kinds of questions. What they're really drilling into was trying to get him to say that they didn't have to take medicine because God could, you know, they didn't have to take any kind of medication for mental illness, and they kept harping on him on that one. And he said, "No, after you're done, we'll pray for you and everything, and you go and see your psychiatrist or whatever. And then if he gets you off your medicine, then fine." But when they quoted that, they took all that out. They lost that part of the footage, of course, and they just said, "No." They said, "Well, should I go off my medicine?" And what they put on there was him saying, "God's more powerful than any medicine." So then they tried to build the case that he was running around trying to get people off their medication, which of course is illegal in Denmark. So it's just interesting how they're misconstruing. And I'm just wondering how, you know, there could be a lot of other ministries like here in the States that could start happening here as well. The media is full of venom. And if they, you know, turn on somebody, they just go crazy trying to destroy them, as we already can see from they're trying to go after Trump and anybody else who might support him.
Yeah, they are. They're vicious. Go ahead, Joe.
It's already happening over here, Malcolm. A good example of when Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, you know, that there's many Americans out there believe that God chose Donald Trump. CNN went right after her. So, yeah, that's a good example. I'm glad you brought that up. I actually watched a video on that about Denmark. But, yeah, CNN was one of the first to just start. They had a panel of three people, and they just started tearing at her, you know, trying to tear her apart, you know. Well, you know, what is she talking about? You know, she must be nuts. And, you know, I think one woman said that, you know, I mean, the reason God brought Donald Trump is to judge us for not taking care of this democracy. So, yeah, that's a good example of what's happening in Denmark. It's starting to happen over here, you know.
Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I was listening to, I don't know how I clicked onto it, but what was his name? You know what? Sorry. Lindsay Williams. I saw a video of his, which is the latest scenario. I don't know if you're familiar with Lindsay Williams, but he puts out these, had some connection with people in the, what he calls the elites. It's kind of like, sounds more like a deep state type of connections, people in control, kind of the power brokers behind the world, type of thing. But anyway, he was giving his latest message was that the elites are in panic mode right now because they don't know how to respond to Trump. That he is obviously unorthodox as far as the standard president of the United States or our standard leaders who are basically on puppets strings and being pulled in whatever direction by certain motivations. But Trump doesn't seem to have that same attachment or connection with those. And anyway, it's a very long video. It's like an hour and 30 minutes or something like that. But he gives broke through. Basically, his message was that we have a short time here with President Trump in power. And this time, and he felt it, that it was from God, that God has given us a short time to get our act together, which totally coincides with what David has been preaching and our dream, the dreams have been confirming. But anyway, he in the message, he stopped and he said, "Now I want to play this this message from a prophet that has been preaching in the churches." And he said, "Now you can't don't pay attention to what he looks like because he's a strange dude, but listen to what he's saying." And it was this I can't pronounce his name, Sundar, somebody. I'm sure you guys probably know who he is, but the message is very powerful. It's about 10 minutes, and he's preaching specifically about God's anointing of Trump for this particular day that we're in. And he basically is saying, you have 4 years with Trump, and you need to be praying, you need to be preparing, you need to be getting your house in order for what's coming. And he said, and he was stressing that we need to be praying for President Trump and covering him with our prayers, and perhaps we will have longer. But and so I don't know if he is saying, you know, that this could be Trump's last. He may only be in power for 4 years, or he may go for another 4 years. But when I listened to that, and I was thinking about it, and of course, there's a certain amount of fear in the unknown when you've seen how much damage was done behind the scenes in the previous administration, and how many times spiritual fences or spiritual boundaries were broken open and let certain influences in the United States. It all happened through a lot of it happened through the authority structure in the United States, in our country. And so when I'm looking now at the, shall we say, the ruling class, the democratic socialist flow that's going down right now in Congress and in kind of the spirit of the way things are going, you can really see, at least it has kind of convinced me, that right now there is a wall, a spiritual wall, a boundary saying you can't go this far. It's a major resistance in the White House resisting this flood that is coming against us, flood of evil. And if that is pulled away for any reason, you can see by the way that the opposition, the way that the deceived opposition in our in Congress and our leadership, that when they do get the power, all hell is going to break loose. There's going to be no resistance. There's going to be very little resistance to what's going on in our government. So I could really see that is very important for us to keep President Trump enveloped in our prayer. But the thing, I was a little bit depressed the other day, and I can't remember. Oh, it's when President Trump declared this national emergency. Of course, you were hearing about it through the news media that, well, if he's going to declare a national emergency about something this simple, then the Democrats, when they regain power in the White House, they can use the same power to do whatever they want. You know, they can bring in the global warming push, or they can bring in the whole socialistic influence.
Hey, Pat?
Yes.
Did you know that this has been done 56 times before?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
That's why I say it's, again, it's mostly propaganda, but the problem is it is believed. it's believed by a lot of the socialists, shall I say. I'm just going to put it that way. But the point that I was getting to is I started to feel depressed about it for, you know, like in the short term thinking, oh man, here we go again type of thing. And then it dawned on me that that was the Lord confirming what he's told us, that we have a short time with President Trump. And we have time to get our act together, get our house in order, get serious with God, to start to take his word and believe it, work it into our heart, walk it out, and go where it leads us. And be prepared to knock down the boundaries inside us and outside us. They're because they're all over the place. And so at first I got depressed, and then I got kind of excited because it's confirmation that that's where that God's leading us right down a path, right to a point. He's given us plenty of warning. He's encouraging us to dig into his word, trust his word, trust his grace, trust him for our supply, whatever we need to get through this process, and know for a fact that none of this is happening by accident. God not only knew it was going to happen, he is orchestrating it. He's bringing it to his particular direction for us. And I think of that scripture that I just drew a blank. That God has chosen you for this time. This time for you to rise up and for you to trust God, for you to cooperate with him and obey him and walk where he leads you and expect the results that he's going to bring forth his grace and overpower those that oppose you, and to be able to walk in his grace. It's just to me is a confirmation that he's bringing us through he's leading us through this process. By the way, I'll try to find that that website and put it on the chat room if somebody wants to listen to it. It's pretty powerful. Lindsay Williams is the guy's name. So I'll flip it up there.
Amen. Amen. You know, if the Lord told us, I believe we've shared this before, there's always an if, and there's always condition. The condition, he said, if you will pray for President Trump, that I will put him in office for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. So that's where we are. So if we keep praying, he'll go to the second term. But he is talking about this one term, being a one-term president. So we have to keep praying for him and keep praying protection on him. Because he's got a lot to work. There's an awesome interview with Robert David Steele. Some of you know him, some don't. I can't even remember where the site was, but this guy is real smart. He's an ex Secret Service agent, but he's among other things. And he had some real good stuff. And if I can find it, I'll put it up there for you if you wanted to listen. It's about 30 minutes long, I think. But he has some great ideas for Trump. in this presidency. And Trump listens to him occasionally. So maybe we can see something here. But I'm going to continue. We're going to continue praying for Trump. Amen. Continue praying that he holds on to this dream that he has to have a country that's free from the deep state. Go ahead, George.
I was just thinking about how Trump's testimony to a lot of the church world is that when asked if he had ever repented, he said he didn't like to repent. And it was kind of just a Trumpism of his, that his attitude, that New York's businessman side of him was always move forward. And I'm, you know, kind of a self-made man type of image. But I'm asking God right now in the name of Jesus to give Trump a spirit of humility to come upon the president of the United States that would show him the wisdom in publicly repenting and admitting that he needs the counsel of God. And Father, also his wife Melania having a reputation of being immodest in the world's eyes, I want you to have her put a head covering on and give honor to her head and line up the family unit in front of the world and bring the low places up. It's that spirit of Elijah, that John the Baptist ministry that is saying, make the crooked ways straight and lift up the low places and knock down all the high places and every high thought that comes against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and make them a shining example to show people what the family unit is supposed to be again, because there's such an attack on gender and an attack on family. And Father, I just thank you for straightening it out and using these and turning them in, even if it's only temporary, but turning them into vessels of honor that would be a smack in the face of judgment to even the church world that does not line up with your word. And Father, I thank you, as even something as just a head covering on a woman would draw many, many people to an awakening of honor for your word and honor for our positions and our government in the body of Christ. And Father, I was encouraged this week to see some Anabaptists down in Sarasota, Florida, having a week-long or weekend-long live meetings and praise and worship and preaching. And they were speaking, the gentleman speaking was talking about how they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they've been missing something, and that they need a true baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, these plain people, these people that choose to serve you and honor you, and to for their women to be covered and for church government to be proper, for men to rise up and be men and preach the unleavened word of God, that Father, you're giving us a period of time where the honor for your word and your truth is coming back, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen. Did you want to share something, Sharon?
Yes, I wanted to talk, you know, while he was praying. I don't know if anybody's heard this, but it was on Fox News. It was a few weeks ago. But there are everybody in Chicago, Illinois, here, Indiana, and there's like seven other states that are all connected that have been praying and praying for Trump. And one of them, it was like, I mean, they're still praying. Everybody's still praying. And I plead the blood over both President Trump and his wife, you know, from the top of his head to the bottom of the soles of his feet, but that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. But they're saying that they got word from God. Now, these are true Christians that were, you know, they even came on TV. that Trump is going to win again because he's doing such a great job. And but the Congress, Democrats are going to try to, they're pushing him. They're going right up against him. So they're also praying to get rid of the Democrats and, you know, knock them out of the way. And then one said, there is a few of us that heard from God through the Holy Spirit that Trump will become born again Christian before the ending of 2020. I don't know if anybody heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it. I hadn't heard what you said, but I don't doubt it. We've been praying for his salvation.
Right.
Actually. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. I believe he's going to run. I believe because our prayers are going to be answered. And I don't know how he's going to do it other than with the Lord. He may not know it, but the Lord has gotten him to where he's at right now. He's running this country like a business. And when you run a country like a business, you get rid of people that aren't productive. And that's what he's been doing during that shutdown. He got rid of a lot of folks. And he's still doing that. And so he's doing a job. Also, don't know if this is true or not, but I believe it is, that George Soros was picked up in Switzerland, taken to a bunker there. And he started spilling his guts about Obama and some of his people. Sharon, I'm going to mute you, okay? Because I'm getting a little bit of feedback. Now he's at Gitmo, I think. I don't know if they've taken him there yet or not. But Obama he's down there, according to what we've read and understand. He's down there at Gitmo, and he's spilling his guts. They've had to put him in isolation because people want to kill him because he's spilling his guts down there. But anyway, a lot of things are happening. There's some more people down there that, you know, we don't know until this guy, David Zublik. Has been invited down there to record what's going on down there and in the courts. And that's exactly what he's been doing. He's been telling what's going on. So I don't know, you know, we can only pray and hope that God overthrows this deep state government that has, by the way, they were talking about today on Fox News that Robert Davis Steele, not on Fox News, but this interview thing, he was saying that we were going back to the gold-backed dollar in March. We're already a dollar that is backed by gold. We did that January the 15th that went to the gold-backed dollar. So we're already into that. IRS, the Federal Reserve might as well shut its doors. Because Trump's taking them out. They're leaving. They're going out. We're going back to all the money is now going into the Treasury Department rather than the Federal Reserve. He's already recouped. I forget how many trillions of dollars he's already recouped in gold from people who stole the gold. Countries. That stole it. Now, I understand that UK was one of them. But anyway, you know, stuff going on that we'll probably not really find out if it's all true in this side of heaven, but we'll find out soon enough. But God's working as long as we keep praying. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, Sharon, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I don't know if he still is, but did you know that he gave up being paid and he sent out millions and thousands to feed the hungry in America, to feed, get the homeless food and shelter. And then after he did everything in America, then he even sent out some money, I think it was to Africa, to feed the children. You know, so I don't know if he's still not taking salary, but...
No, he's not taking salary. He's done that from day one. He, at the first of the year, he said, he tells you what charity he's giving that money to.
Okay.
He did that last year, and he did it this year. He did it the year before last. Yeah, he's done that. He doesn't take a nickel. I mean, okay. the guy's got billions. I mean, what do you need a measly, what is it, $225,000 a year? That sounds good to us, but to him, that's just pocket change.
You know? Yeah. Well, I just wanted to know that because I'm glad that he still, I knew that he did it this year. I didn't know he did it last year, that he stopped his salary, but thank you.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going to take a nickel from him. He's going to give it all away.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Yes, hallelujah.
Okay, anyone else? Julie, I'm not showing myself because I didn't comb my hair. Oh my, thank you, Jesus. We've talked about the revival in New Hebrides, Lewis Island. We've talked about revival here. We've talked about the president. We've talked about the deep state. Let's talk about praying God in our lives. Do what?
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
Okay.
That's all.
You don't have to worry about your hair comb because God said, come as you are. That's all I want.
Okay.
To say.
All right. All right. I think I'll just pray. What do you think? Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. You said the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. We've got a bunch of righteous people here. And Lord, we know that our prayers are answered. I just ask and I pray, Father, that your hand be upon Donald Trump, that you grant repentance to him, Lord, and that you pull him into the kingdom in a mighty way, him and his wife, his children too. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you send a godly man of God up there that's filled with the Holy Spirit that would lay hands on him to receive the Holy Spirit and get his guidance from the Holy Spirit. And Father, I just ask that and I pray that in the name of Jesus that you do that for this country and fill Melania up, Ivanka, Jared, that Jewish guy, and all the rest of them too. Mike Pence, I think he's already filled with the Holy Spirit. And any of the rest of them, Lord, I just ask that we have a Holy Ghost revival up there in the White House. That'd be an awesome, awesome time, Lord. And we'd have a revival down here just thinking about it. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just ask and I pray that you block any of the false revival people from coming back up to the White House or any kind of false religion from getting into the White House and getting to President Trump. That's the only thing that would be up there, Lord. And I ask that you know, if you have to, translate somebody up there into his office. Boy, that'd be an eye-opener for him. Just show up right there in front of his desk. Mr. President, I have a word from the Lord. Boy, I'm telling you, that would bring about some glory in that White House. And Father, I thank you for answering our prayers for this man. He's been a help to this country already, Lord, more than anybody else in my little old short life that I can think of. And he has come against such odds against the enemy, Lord. I'm talking about demon-possessed enemy that's ranting and raving against him day in and day out. But you've given him the constitution of steel, Lord. And that's awesome. And I praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in him, his family, and his cabinet. And I ask for your protection on all of them, Lord. And I ask that you give him words of the things that are coming up. If there's going to be false flags, that they nip it in the bud before it ever even got off the ground. And they turn over and expose the people who tried to come up with it. And, Lord, we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for the work you're doing up there in the White House. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, that at some point in time, that we're going to know that this man, excuse me, is of you, Lord. And we praise you for it. We know he's appointed by you. We know already. You've already told us that. But, boy, we want to see him come into the kingdom in a mighty way. And the glory of God just go all over him. That would be awesome, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're going to do up there. Praise you, Father. Amen. Anybody else want to go right ahead? Well, Lord, I just thank you for this night of potpourri that we've had. I just praise you, Father, that we get to talk about a little bit of everything tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that by Thursday night, everybody's going to be perky, well, healed, and ready to go and ready to talk about you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon everybody here, and that you give everybody a word from you for Thursday night, Lord. That'd be great. Everybody get a word from the Lord for Thursday night. Father, that's good. Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And, Lord, I just ask and I pray that everybody gets a good night's sleep tonight. I pray that rain around us go around us in the name of Jesus. I pray sunshine for tomorrow and the rest of the week, Lord of God. I pray 70-degree weather up here in Jesus' name. No more rain, no more snow, only sunshine for the next 2 weeks in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we got all that good weather up here now. We ain't got to mess with this rain anymore in Jesus' name. We command those planes to be downed in Jesus' name. It's praying all this chemtrail crud on us. And Lord, I thank you that Donald Trump is going to put an end to it. He's already said he's going to, and I believe it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, y'all be blessed.
God bless you all. Good night.
Yeah, I told
sorry,
you.
Sorry, Michael. I thought you were finished praying. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to unmute myself.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay.